Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Thank you so much. Let's give it up for Jesus, everybody. Yes, thank you, Lord. Please be seated. It's such an honor and privilege for me to be here at this stage again. And my wife is here with me. She cannot wait to be with you guys, with the ladies, tomorrow at 9:30 in the morning. And we just enjoying life. You know, we came from Miami. And by the way, can I just say thank you guys for praying for us in Miami. I know we've been communicating with Pastor Dan about the hurricanes and stuff, what was going on. And I know that God did miracles. And as you guys know, the hurricane Irma should hit Miami hard, but we prayed. And the prayer can do a big, big miracle. Come on, who can say amen? Amen? And we today we prayed already for other parts of the world who are suffering today. And we will continue to pray for this. And I just want to say, we are having so much fun in Miami. We are preaching in Russian. We are preaching in English. I'm trying to speak in Spanish language a little bit. Yes. And it's been lots of fun. I figured it out. My English is much better than 75% of those who lives in Miami. And I'm, because it's such a Spanish community, and many people speak Spanish. A lot of them are actually, and we are looking forward to do the Spanish speaking service. God is doing amazing stuff in our church. And by the way, maybe some of you guys are watching us right now online from Miami. I just want to say we miss Miami. It's very cold in California. I want to go back. And little did we know when we moved to Miami that we would have such a huge Russian-speaking community in the place where we are. Where we do have a church, there are about 400,000 Russian-speaking people. 400,000 Russian-speaking people, and almost no church for Russian-speaking people. There is very small Baptist church of about 60 people and another church of about 20 people, and that's it. And I heard this horrible statistic that 100% of the churches who started Russian-speaking churches in Miami, they closed down. But listen, we are about to change that statistic. Amen, church. We are about to change that statistic. And I'm so thankful for Pastor Dan and Jessica, and of course for my dear friends, Pastor Jim and Deborah. And you guys are doing amazing, amazing work. Come on, give yourself a bigger round of applause. Amen. We just had Pastor Lisa with us, Lisa and Baron here. We just had Lisa. Lisa was our first international guest speaker in our church, and people love this short lady, and they cannot wait to get Lisa back. I love one phrase which Lisa said another day. She said, "In our family, we never talk divorce, only murder," she said. And you know what? In Miami, we like that kind of stuff. Amen? We are straight. I came from the, rock and roll background, musician, but being musician. I got saved, did not know anything about Jesus, did not know anything about Christ. 25 years ago, my wife and I did not know a clue about God. But then some missionaries came to our land in Kiev, in Ukraine, and they did not have any musicians to hire. I was playing in heavy metal rock band, and they were coming to us and they said, "Would you like to play for church?" And I'm like, "Church? I've been in this heavy metal music, leather jackets, some chains, long hair." And I said, "Church? I don't want to do anything with church." And they said, "We're going to pay you $5 per night." And back then in Ukraine, you need to understand, $5 was a huge money back then. And when they said $5, I said, for $5, I can play for anybody. Jesus, Mohammed, Buddha, I don't care. I'm gonna play for these guys. Little did we know, you know, that God is going to get hold of us, my wife and myself. And we did came to church. It was an English-speaking pastor, but I did not speak any English. He did not speak any Russian. I knew only 5 words in English: mother, father, sister, brother, and AC/DC. And little later, we figured it out that AC/DC is not even the word. You know what I mean? So we started to come to church, and we got interested, and we got a little bit motivated in our lives. But you know what? About 2 months later, I came to pastor, and I said, when I am going to do this? And he said, Zhenya, what do you want to do? And I said, giving my life to Jesus. And he said, you can do it right now. And you need to understand, it was outside on the street. And I said, I cannot pray on the street. God is gone. Church is finished already. God is gone to California to do the rock church. You know what I mean? And he said, no, you can pray. And back then in 1992, my wife and I, we prayed the prayer of salvation. And God came into our lives. And God did so many miracles in our lives. Come on, give it up for Jesus, everybody in this place. Amen. About a few months after that, pastor would come to me and he would say, Zhenya, would you go to Bible college? And I did not want to go to Bible college, but I was listening to my pastor's voice. I really liked the guy. We went to Bible college, and about 2 years after that, we became a pastor of that same church, who is very well-known Hillsong Church in Kiev. We've been pastoring that church for many years, and a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, we started another church in Kiev called Dynamo Church, and 2 years ago, we started a church in Miami. And this tonight, I just want to speak to you about the subject called, the subject called motivation versus conviction. Motivation versus conviction. Our church in Miami is actually today and tomorrow is going to be 8 months old church. Only 8 months ago we started a church in Miami. And by the way, I just want to say so much thank you for supporting us and investing in us in Miami, because I really believe Miami shall be saved. Yeah. Amen, church. We started in January our journey in Miami, and in 8 months we had about 300 people would go through the doors of our church. Right now we are working probably with about 200 people, and 100 of them coming on a regular basis, between 100 and 130 people. And you know what? It is an amazing church. I love our journey in our church in Miami. Many people come, they feel motivated, they feel inspired, they love us because we speak with a funny accent. Amen. And we do church services in English language and in Russian language. They love us, they love the messages, they love the atmosphere. Many of them, I would say 70-75% of them, are brand new Christians. So they just come to church, they know nothing, many of them, they know nothing, but they come, they love music, they love to dance a little bit, they love the atmosphere, as I said. One guy came to me and he said to me this phrase, he said to me, Pastor Zhenya, I so loved your message this morning on offerings that I gave more. I was feeling so much motivated today that I gave more. And you know what? At first I thought to myself, well, that's a good compliment. That means I am a good motivational speaker. You know, if he said, you motivate me well. And you know what? I felt, oh, that's cool. But from another side, another thought came to my mind, and I thought, no, that's not really cool. Because if you need motivation every time, come on somebody, in giving, that's put unnecessary pressure on a pastor, or it puts unnecessary pressure on a leadership team. Would you agree with me or not? And God gave me this revelation that sometime in our lives, we need to jump from motivation to the conviction. Come on, church. I'm speaking to someone in this audience. And don't get me wrong. Yes, we are working with, brand new Christians. And yes, sometimes you need to give time to people. And that's why I told you how we came to Christ. And it is a journey. Come on, say with me, a journey. It is a journey for all of us. But sometimes it should be a point in our lives when we are not just getting motivated at our Sunday morning services. When we are not just getting motivated on our Wednesday night and Thursday morning services. Sometimes it needs to be a time in our lives when we come to our church as a group of fighters. Come on, somebody. As a group of men and women who recouping our strength, and then we're gonna go to our cities, to our villages, and then we're gonna go to our worker places, and we know what to do. Would you agree with me? It is very important to get motivation. But I started, Pastor Jim, when I started to pray about Dynamo Church, I started to pray, God, give us convicted people. I need to be careful how I say, because convicted having a little bit different meaning right now. I do understand that. I'm not talking about convicts here. You have to excuse my Russian language here. I started to pray, God, give us people with convictions in our life. Give us some few people who would come to our church in Miami. And yes, we need many, many, many newly saved Christians. That's why we are there in Miami. We are there not to steal people from other churches. We are there in Miami to get people saved. Hallelujah. But yet, I said to God, God, give us people with convictions from the very first day. And we started to pray about it. And we started to ask God, God, send those people to us. So right now in our church, we have few pastors' kids in our church. How do we get them? I don't know. But they somehow came to Miami and they joined our church. I mean, pastors' kids, they are not kids anymore. They are adults, but they are from Christian families. They are from pastors' families. And they are those people, you don't need to teach them from the A to B to C. They know it all. So they are the part of your team already. And there are people with convictions already who are helping us to do what we are doing in Miami. Let's read together with me from Matthew chapter 19, and we're gonna read from verse 16. Are you guys okay? You guys need to understand, my native language is Ukrainian. I'm thinking in Russian, I'm speaking in English, and I'm praying in tongues right now. So you don't wanna mess with this head. I just love this church. I feel at home at this church. Amen. Someone came to Jesus with this question. Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he had said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. and come, follow me. But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had a great possessions. Great story. Come on, say with me, great story. Interesting story. This young man was so motivated by Jesus. He probably heard him doing miracles. He probably seen him, doing miracles. He probably heard his teaching. He probably did seen all of this, and motivation was high. And when he came to Jesus, Jesus said to him, now you need to jump from motivation to your conviction. Now you need to jump from just being interested and motivated to the position when whatever happens, you follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, right now in this world, whatever happens, does it shake your faith? Does it destroy your faith? Because if you are a person of a conviction, nothing what's going on around you is not going to affect your walk with Jesus Christ. And we need to be so convicted in everything what we believe. Because in this amazing story, we saw that Jesus, he tried to examine his faith. You must choose your possession or me. He was sure that he was not sure that Jesus would give him everything what possession could give to him. He was not convinced that Jesus would be able to give him life as the possession could give him life. Yet Jesus himself said, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. Amen. In another passage, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. That's weird that Jesus wants to give us life and to those people who have life already. Because many people today, they say, I have life. I have thoughts, I have plans, I have ideas, I have dreams. What do you mean, Pastor, I don't have a life? Do you know how huge the problem of suicide today in today's world? In America alone, 45,000 people, and you know what, I really believe America is the best country in the world. And yet 45,000 people take their life every year. An interesting thing that men are taking their lives 4 times more than women does. Wow. Jesus came to us to give us not just life, he came to us to give us essence of life. Yeah. He gives us meaning of life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says this. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we would only understand that all God wants to give us, he wants to give us life, we would not even hesitate. Do I need to come to church on Wednesday night? Do I need to read Bible? Do I need to spend this 90 minutes in a church and listening to this crazy Russian guy yelling at me? Do I need to hear God's principles from his word? No. We would understand. We would run to it with hunger. We would drink this fresh revelation from the word, and we would turn this revelation into convictions, and we would build our lives on those convictions every day of our lives. That's what happens in our lives. We've been with Jesus for 25 years. And you know what happens? We just build conviction after conviction. God gives revelation. You put this revelation inside of your heart, and this revelation would you know, create the, another conviction. You got another revelation, you put it in heart, in your heart, and then would, you would get another conviction inside of your spirit. Amen, church? Amen. Another day I was thinking, how much money people are willing to pay for motivational speakers to speak in their lives, to motivate their lives. I will not gonna go to give you names, but one of the motivational coaches, I read it on internet, and you know everything what they say on internet is true. His worth is about $500 million. And to go and to hear him speak for a weekend cost thousands of dollars. Why do people do that? One of the main reasons, people wants to be motivated. They want to be inspired. They want to feel this, if you wish, spark inside of their heart. They want to be pumped up by motivational speech. Here is some advertisement I just seen of the very famous motivational speaker. Let's name him John Johnson. When it comes to helping, it's a quote, when it comes to helping people improve their lives, there is nobody in the game with a stronger credentials than John Johnson. When I heard that, I'm like, really? I know somebody. I know somebody who has even bigger credentials than John Johnson, and his name is what? Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, let's give it up for Jesus, everyone in this place. You know what, guys? We need to make a decision today, and we need to choose. Basically, we need to choose motivation for a big price or conviction for free. Because you know what? All convictions I got inside of me, they are free. They does not cost anything. They does not cost anything. And please don't get me wrong. I know I'm speaking in California. I know it's a very motivational land and business land. And I'm not saying that motivation is bad. It's not bad. It's a wonderful thing. But we need to go higher. We need to go higher from the motivation to the conviction in our lives. Would you agree with me? I'm not saying it's bad, but for our lives, convictions are better. Amen. I want to give you a few thoughts tonight, and if you want to write them down, please write them down, because again, I don't say that motivation is bad, but I just want to, you know, see motivation versus conviction, if you know what I mean. Number one, motivation comes from external sources, but conviction moves you through eternal revelation. Oh, my English is good. Motivation comes from external sources. Would you agree with me? Yeah. It's from the outside, from external sources, but conviction moves you through internal revelation. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 10 it says this, for do I now, it's Apostle Paul is speaking, and he said, for do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please man? For if I still please man, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. It came from the inside. It did not come from the outside in my life. Motivation, most of the time, comes from external sources. You get motivated by some speech or some idea or somebody. And this is so important because, you know, if you're following the man, you're going to regret it one day. How many people would follow the man and the man fall down and the rest of the people who follow them fell down? But I know one, if you follow Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what's happening outside, you got a strength inside of you, and that strength will keep you moving forward. Oh, come on, somebody, let's give it up for Jesus one more time. My hope is in Jesus, not in a man. I do respect men. I love people. I love pastors. I love people above me. And I love people who follow me. But you know what? I follow Jesus in my life. Amen, church? I follow Jesus in my life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says in the Message Bible, sometimes I quote Message Bible, forgive me, please. It says this, it matters very little to me what you think of me. Don't get me wrong. I really believe it matters for me what you guys are thinking of me, because you are my family. Come on. But Paul says, it matters very little to me what you think of me, even less where I rank in a popular opinion. I don't even rank myself. That's the words of the person who knows his worth. Because that worth comes from the inside, not from the outside. It is a matter of perspective. Come on, somebody. I've heard this funny story. Are you guys okay with funny stuff at the Rock Church? Of course, you love funny stuff. This girl, she left home and she went to the university and she did not write for a long time to her mom and dad. And finally she write the letter to her mom and dad after about 2 months or 3 months. So it goes like this. Dear mom and dad, it has now been 3 months since I left for college. I'm so sorry for my unthoughtfulness of not having written before. I will bring you up to date, but before you read on, you had better sit down, okay? I'm getting along pretty well now. The skull fracture and concussion I got when I jumped out of my apartment window when I caught fire after my arrival here is pretty well healed. I only spent 2 weeks in a hospital, and now I can see almost normally and only get these sick headaches once a day. Fortunately, the fire and my jump were witnessed by Roger, an attendant at the gas station, and he was the one who called the fire department. He also visited me in the hospital, and since I had nowhere to live, he was kind enough to invite me to share his apartment with him. He's a very fine young man, and we are planning to get married. We have not set the date yet, but it will be well before my pregnancy begins to show. I'm laughing as a parent. His divorce is final now, and he shares custody of his 3 children. The reason for the delay in our marriage is that Roger has a minor infection which prevents us from passing our premarital blood test. And I carelessly caught it from him. This will soon clear up with the penicillin injection I'm taking daily. Now that I have brought you up to date, I want to tell you that there was no fire. I did not have a concussion or skull fracture. I was not in a hospital. I am not pregnant, I am not engaged, and there is no divorced man in my life. However, I am getting a D in art and an F in biology, and I wanted you to see these marks in a proper perspective. Your loving daughter, Jane. She's a one clever girl. Motivation comes from the external sources, but convictions comes from internal revelation. Number two, in the darkest hour of your life, when all motivation will die, only your convictions will lift you up. In the darkest hour of your life, and hey, come on somebody, who knows that darkest hours, sometimes they come. They knock in your door, uninvitedly. They just come. In the darkest hour of your life, when all motivation will die, only your convictions will lift you up. People are talking about motivation these days, especially on the online world, here and there, everywhere. Anybody on Facebook knows what I'm talking about? Countless memes, quotes, and motivational videos fill the internet, and we often think, is that being motivated enough is enough to complete the task. But my question is this. Is being motivated, just simply motivated, enough? And my answer is no. Just being motivated, it's not enough. See, motivation is great to help light up the fire. But it is only conviction that provides the fuel and allows the fire to continue and to rage throughout the hardships of your life. I see motivation as a spark, but I can see conviction as a fuel. Motivation will start your life or your ministry or your business or anything else you are doing. But it is only conviction, come on somebody, and only conviction will help you to go through any problems, and hey, they are gonna come in your life. And when the problems are coming, we are thinking, okay, I am motivated, but you know what, that's not enough. You need internal convictions inside of your heart to see that problem and to go through that problem, because without those convictions, you're gonna give up very easily. My wife and I, we are in Miami. Miami is not an easy place for the gospel. It's not an easy place. Sometimes in the prayer life, Vera and myself, we always wondering, why did you send us to Miami? Why did we go to Texas? They say 87% of people in Texas goes to church. In Miami, 1.5%. If they are not on the beach, come on somebody, you know what I mean. And sometimes you are motivated, but if you don't have that strength inside of me, and please don't get me wrong, sometimes I'm losing that strength myself. So you need a really good convictions inside of your heart. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, Pastor Paul is talking about this. He said, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." That's convictions, my friend. That's convictions, my friend. Sometimes your convictions is all you have left in your life. When all the other people give up on you, you just have your own conviction inside of your heart. And I really pray this evening, tonight, that there will be people in this auditorium who would leave this building and who would say to themselves, hey, what's going on there? Do I have any convictions? If life is gonna go not what I planned and not what I expected, what do I have left? In Proverbs chapter 24 verse 10 it says this, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Once again, I like to quote sometimes the Message Bible, and listen to what it says in the Message Bible. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there was not much to you in the first place. I told you. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, then there was nothing there. Nothing inside. There was not much to you in the first place. Sometimes people ask in Zhenya and Vera, so those people who know us well, and they are, Zhenya and Vera, how do you still standing? How do you still doing what you're doing? How do you still preaching? How do you still open the churches? And you know what? And the only answer is, you know, 25 years ago, the person named Jesus Christ came inside of this heart. And he start to work, and he start to do this stuff, which I don't understand. What I said to you, we heard the word, and the word became revelation, and that revelation would turn into conviction, and that's how, and that somehow we learned that there are about 10 million people, Russian-speaking people, live in United States. 400,000 of them in Miami area, but overall in United States, more than 10 million people. Come on, somebody need to reach those 10 million people, Russian-speaking people. And Zhenya, how do you do this? I don't know. But God gave us conviction inside of our heart, and we're not gonna give up of doing this. Are you guys with us? Amen. Number three. I like number three. Are you okay? Okay. I love number three. Motivation hesitates at the crossroads, but convictions are quick to answer. People with convictions, they give answer like this. Bam, 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 bam. They're not like, have you heard that those answer? This year, rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, do that, do that, do that, do that. And this rich young ruler, and he left. Why? He was not convinced that Jesus was the one he wanted to follow. Can you imagine if you are, you know, seeing somebody and you guys are dating with this beautiful girl, and this girl one day she asks, honey, do you like me? Do you love me? And the answer is, that's what Russian girls would do straight away. I need to make sure if my wife asks me this question, I'm quick to answer. Yes, honey, you are the best thing happening in my life. I love you so much. You are... and go on and go on. I am a blessed man. One of the reasons I believe I am blessed, because as a young man, I decided to honor God with my tithes and offerings. It almost automatic now these days, as soon as I got an amount of money on my account, the first thing I do, I don't even think about it, I send 10% to Dynamo Church. That's the first thing I do. I don't think about it twice. You know, sometimes people think, should I, what do I have to do? When I prayed the start in Dynamo Church, as I said to you earlier, one of my prayers was, God, give us pillars in our church. Give us people whose convictions about faith, about evangelism, about finances are yours, those convictions. Give us few solid people when we start our church who don't need my motivation. I was actually praying this prayer. I remember I was praying, God, give us people in our church who are bored during offering talk. They are bored because they already prepared everything. They come to church prepared. And when pastor is taking up the offering 5-7 minutes or whatever, they go, oh, come on, pastor, just move on. We need people who are bored during the offering talk. Amen. It's really funny. I know that there are some people who are watching us right now in Miami, but we have one gentleman in our church, and he starts to come to our church from the very beginning. Every Sunday he comes to church, he cuts the same check. And Pastor Jim, it's a nice check. every Sunday. Same check. He write down the same check and he holds this check in his pocket. And I can see, because you know, we are dealing with new Christians, so sometimes you need to teach them, and this man sits like this.
I don't know.
Come on. Oh, finally. You know what I mean? I am praying about this, about Rock Church. Come on, somebody. We need people like this in our churches who are bored when we take up and talk about the offerings. Because this is so, so important. Motivation hesitates at the crossroads, but convictions are quick to answer. Quick. Quick. Number four. I'm finishing with this. Motivation benefits yourself, but convictions impress and attracts other people. I don't know about you, but when I see a person with conviction, I want to follow that person. I'm interested in that person's life. When I see people who believe in something, even up to death, that motivates me. That attracts me. I want to say few words about pastors in this church, and of course, Pastor Jim and Deborah, you guys, such a people with convictions. Come on, somebody. Can you say amen about this wonderful, for so many years, you've been doing what you've been doing, and you always say the same thing. And when you find the people with convictions inside of their heart, it impresses other people. The reason I believe this church is such an amazing and huge and successful church is because of the leadership of this building and this church, because this leadership is full of convictions inside of their heart. And I just want to pray in the very last moment of this message that every one of us in this church, in this auditorium, would become people of convictions in everything what we do and everything what we have. Did you receive the word tonight? Come on, church. Did you receive the word? Come on, let's give it up for Jesus one more time.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.